We now have time, brothers and sisters, for words of exhortation. This is the Wachan Lake Bible School 2024. Our brother Peter Owen is going to lead us in the exhortation under the theme of Bread from Heaven. Brother Peter.
Brothers and sisters, will you turn with me to Mark chapter 6? We'd like for our exhortation this morning to focus on the feeding of the 5,000. And the feeding of the 5,000 brings together at least two major Old Testament scriptures. For us to appreciate that, we need to have a little look at the context of this miracle. Our brother read for us the chapter, and a significant part of the middle of the chapter is regarding the death, or the recounting of the death, of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you recall, was the one whose job it was to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the voice crying in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus said of John the Baptist that there was none greater among women. And we see, don't we, the awful situation where the damsel, at the behest of her mother, requests from Herod the head of John the Baptist. This faithful prophet was beheaded. We see that the disciples are tired and weary. We read in verse 30 that the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They're tired, they're weary, they're overwhelmed by the situation that they're in. The people are coming and going, we read. And the Lord looks at them. We read in verse 34 that when Jesus came out, he saw much people and he was moved with compassion because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And so we sort of try to picture the scene. John the Baptist, the prophet that's gone before to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the voice crying in the wilderness. He's been beheaded. The sadness, the overwhelming sadness for many of those disciples who followed John the Baptist. For many of the people, they've become like sheep without a shepherd. They're tired, they're weary, they're anxious, they need a shepherd, they need support. And we read in verse 35, that when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, send these people away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they had nothing to eat. They're tired, they're hungry, they're faint, they're weary. They're a sheep without a shepherd. John has been beheaded. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is going to, as it were, step center stage to be the shepherd that the people so badly needed. And it's with these thoughts in our mind, we'll keep a marker here in Mark chapter 6, but we'd like to go back to our first Old Testament scripture, which, if you reflect on John the Baptist, most of us would probably go straight to Isaiah chapter 40. So keep a marker, but come with me to Isaiah chapter 40. It's in Isaiah 40 that we're given a little more insight into the message of John the Baptist. What is it that the voice has been crying? We read in verse 3, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will be made straight, the rough places plain. And the glory of Yahweh will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together." You remember, we won't turn there, but in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that John the Baptist reveals to the people the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He reveals to them the one who showed them the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. The record goes on to say that John bare witness of that man, the one who showed the very glory of the Father. The voice said in verse 6, so we understand that the job of the voice is to prepare the way, to make straight in the desert a highway for our God, that every valley will be exalted. That's the ordinary people. That's what it's speaking about. It's not literally here speaking about valleys and mountains. It's spiritually speaking to us of the ordinary people will be lifted up. Those who are exalted and high and mighty, the leaders of the people, will be brought low, the mountains, when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And the voice says, John the Baptist says, "What shall I cry? What's the message that I need to give to the people?" As the valleys are exalted, as the ordinary people are going to be shown the very glory of God, as the mighty, those at the feast of Herod, are going to be brought low, what shall I cry? What's the message? Verse 6. "All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." All flesh is grass. Even the man who the Lord Jesus Christ said that among women there was none greater than John the Baptist. But ultimately, all flesh is grass. He had to die like the grass. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself will have to die to deal with the problem of the flesh. And so John the Baptist, his job was to say to the people, all flesh is grass. The only thing that's going to last is the word of God. So we think back to John chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. The Word would stand forever. And so when we reflect back, I want you to stay in the Old Testament, but to the feeding of the 5,000, where is the Lord Jesus Christ shortly going to lead the people? The people that are lost and without a shepherd. There they've gone to find him on the mountain. And the Lord, like the good shepherd, is going to lead them to the grass. He's going to teach them all flesh is grass. He's going to feed them like the good shepherd, of course. He takes them to the green grass, but ultimately, all flesh is grass. Now, we're just interested to see several more connections in our chapter, where we read in verse 9, "O Zion that bringest good tidings, get up into the high mountain." Well, where was the Lord Jesus Christ? Mark and Matthew record they'd gone to a desert place, but John records that they've gone to a mountain. So if you're making a note, John 6 verse 3 we might put, because the Lord has taken them to the mountain. We read, O Jerusalem that brings good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. The voice crying in the wilderness has been beheaded. And so now the challenge for the people is to lift up their voice with strength, to not be afraid, to speak the gospel message, to speak the truth. It's the time for others to stand up, to declare the gospel, to declare their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice that they have to say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. And the identifier of their God would be the one, look at verse 1 of Isaiah 40, that would comfort the people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. What does the Lord Jesus Christ show to the people? We saw, didn't we, in Mark 6 and verse 34, that the Lord Jesus shows comfort. He shows compassion, kindness to the people because they are as sheep without a shepherd. And so we're not surprised to read in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, at the time of the falling asleep, this tragic event of the beheading of John the Baptist, now shows himself as the good shepherd, the one who is going to feed the flock like a shepherd, to gather the lambs in his arms, to carry them in his bosom. It's such a beautiful picture, isn't it? We see the lovely character of the Lord Jesus. You can often tell the character of a person in the way that lambs, little children, will react to them. You've seen that, haven't you, in ecclesial life, where children will want to go and sit on the lap of that lovely uncle, that lovely auntie, because they feel safe and they trust that person. I have a sister with Down syndrome, and when we used to come to Bible schools as children, Amy would often go and attach herself to a family, and you could be sure that that family was a particularly lovely family. The Lord Jesus Christ would gather the lambs in his arm. What a beautiful shepherd that's now caring for and looking after the people that are tired and weary and struggling in their lives. That's our shepherd, brothers and sisters and young people. That's the man that's overseeing our lives today. Look what he's able to do. Just flick to the end of the chapter. Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ, came in the glory of the Father. He's able, verse 29, to give power to the faint. To the him that has no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And that's what the Lord Jesus, as the shepherd, is going to do now for the weary and the faint and those who are struggling on that mountain. He's going to wrap them up. He's going to feed them and care for them. And brothers and sisters, that's why we come to Bible school. In this tent of the congregation, there are so many actually really struggling. Some really difficult things in their lives. Maybe it's their brother, their sister, their son, their daughter, parents, grandparents, the brother or sister that sits on your row in the ecclesia. There's not a person in here who hasn't got a burden of some sort. And the Lord Jesus, in these emblems, speaks to us to wrap us up, to bring us to the green grass, to say that he's able to deal with our weary spirits, to build us up, to pick us up, to give us strength, that at the end of this week together, we might feel uplifted, our hearts can soar, strengthened, and a little more determined, that when we get back to our family lives and our ecclesial lives and the things that we've left this week but they're still in the back of our minds, we're going to have the strength to be able to hold fast, to keep trying to provide the support and help through the Lord Jesus Christ who strengthens us to care for the flock. Now, the other Old Testament scripture, you won't be surprised to know, that we think comes out so vividly in the feeding of the 5,000 is Psalm 23. Will you turn with me to Psalm 23, please? This psalm is a psalm that David, of course, was inspired to write. Support and help to David. This psalm is support and help to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm is a support and a help to us. We read, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we keep our God as our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd, ultimately, we shall not want. None of us need fear that we'll be overwhelmed by the challenges and difficulties of our family's lives. Not one person needs to worry that we'll be tested more than we're able to be. That we'll be overwhelmed in our spirit and we won't be able to cope. You will. Because Yahweh is your shepherd. You've got to make sure that he stays as your shepherd. Because he will make me lie down in green pastures. And clearly here the metaphor is being used to show that he'll feed us. As the Lord Jesus Christ brought the 5,000 to the green pastures. The lush pastures. Those that we need in order to feed us. He leads me beside still waters. We're brought to be refreshed and lifted up. He is able to restore my soul, to restore that weary soul that can get down. We're able to be restored by the Good Shepherd. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If we keep following the Good Shepherd, following him, we'll be brought down paths that are suitable for the development of our characters in order to bring us to the green pastures, to the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You think of those disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ as they reflected on the death of John the Baptist. They could be reminded that they didn't need to fear because God would have been with him as he would be with them. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We read, we won't go there and look it up, but you remember at the beginning of Mark chapter 6 that when the disciples were sent out, they were told, take not with you a wallet and scrip, simply take your staff with you. You don't need two coats, you don't need money. Simply take your stuff. Why? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's what, if we're to be shepherds, we're to take with us as we walk, being led by the Good Shepherd in the paths of righteousness. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The Good Shepherd was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was anointed, Acts chapter 10 tells us, at his baptism by John the Baptist. Thou anointest my head with oil. John the Baptist was not the one who Israel were to follow. It was only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He only could prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I would like you to come back with me to Mark. Because we see now in Mark chapter 6 that this is exactly what the Lord Jesus now does. He prepares, as it were, a table for the people. Here they are in this desert place. They haven't got to buy for themselves because the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared the table for them. And so we read in verse 38, he says to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, five and two fishes. We understand that five speaks to us in Scripture, doesn't it, of grace. That this is the grace of the Father in providing for them. Five and two fishes. Two fishes, we don't always find easy to be able to explain, and we wouldn't be dogmatic, but we see elsewhere in Scripture, don't we, that the sea speaks of the nations, the fish in the sea speak to us of the nations. So in two fishes, we see that salvation is for all, for Jew and for Gentile, that God's grace is in the bread that's given, that there's going to be enough for all. And he commanded them to sit down. Now I want you to notice something, that the death of John the Baptist, which is recorded for us in the build-up to this miracle, we see many language patterns that are similar to the feeding of the 5,000. So, if you're able to, see if you can just cast your eye back to verse 27, or the end of verse 26, that we see that there are those who are sitting at the feast of King Herod. What does the Lord Jesus Christ do now? The mountains are going to be brought low. The valley is going to be exalted. The ordinary people are going to be brought to a special feast. A feast far more wonderful than any that King Herod could put together. So we notice that there are those who are sitting with King Herod. We notice in verse 39 that the Lord Jesus made the people to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And we read that the Lord Jesus commanded the people. Do you notice in verse 27, immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded. Well, at verse 39, the Lord Jesus had commanded them to sit down. We notice in verse 28 that Herod brought, or the executioner rather, brought the head of John the Baptist in a charger and gave it to the damsel. We notice that the Lord Jesus break the loaves in verse 41 and gave them to his disciples. And of major significance, we read in verse 29 that when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse. All flesh is grass. But the Lord Jesus Christ now is going to do something really special with this miracle. We wouldn't ordinarily, necessarily feel the need to clear up the breadcrumbs after a picnic. We know, wouldn't we, that they're biodegradable, that they're just eventually going to rot down. There's no plastic that needs to be cleared up here. But we see, don't we, that when they were all filled, verse 43, they took up. So we connect that to verse 29, where the disciples took up the corpse of John the Baptist. They now took up 12 baskets. Now, you try to picture this, that there are 12 disciples, and it's entirely reasonable, isn't it, for us to suggest that each disciple has a basket, and they go around and they took up the fragments that were left. Now, we ask the question, why is it that this happens? Well, the people are learning this lesson. Perhaps the spiritual, particularly spiritually discerning amongst them, were able to make some connections. Certainly the record helps us make those connections to what happened to John the Baptist. But the particularly discerning will have picked this up later on. And actually, I want you to come with me now to the gospel record of John. John records for us exactly why it is that the fragments were picked up. We read in verse 12 of John chapter 6. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain." Here's our reason: that nothing be lost. That nothing be lost. That's why the fragments had to be picked up. Now that is of real significance. Because what is it that the Good Shepherd is so famous for? The Good Shepherd, we know, goes after that which is lost. And so as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd, has brought the people to the green grass to feed them, he gives them bread. This is bread from heaven. This is miraculous. From 5 loaves, he fed 5,000 men beside women and children. And he made sure that they were filled, that they were full up. But the miracle wasn't finished. Each of you, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Judas, take your basket. Go and collect the fragments. I want nothing, the Good Shepherd says, to be lost. Now we know, don't we, that the following day, many ran to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in John that we read of it. And they said, "Please, could we have more of this bread? I should think it was the best bread they'd ever tasted." You know, when you have a really fresh roll. I had a fresh raspberry cake for breakfast this morning. It was really good. It was incomparable to the loaves that they had on that mountain, on that green grass. That bread was... And they ran to the Lord Jesus the next day. And the Lord Jesus said to them, "Labour not for the meat that perishes. I am the bread from heaven." You've missed the point. It's not about being full today. What I'm offering you is something for eternity. And the rest of the chapter of John 6 is dedicated, isn't it, to explain to us for the record for all time, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in him, we're able to be filled. He is the bread from heaven. Just flick to the end of the chapter. You remember that at the end of that chapter, we read in verse 66 that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Peter says, we're going nowhere, Lord. We're going with you. But the Lord Jesus answered, verse 70, have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him. Now come to John 17, and you'll see why it's so significant that at the end of John chapter 6, it's Judas that the following day, it seems, after the miracle of the 5,000, when he's been walking around contemplating what this is all about, and well, he's happy for the bread. But when the next day they're told that it's not about the bread, I am the bread of life, Judas is amongst the disciples to turn back. And so how is it phrased in John chapter 17 when we read about how the Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, he was able to keep those who entrusted to him? Look how it's phrased for us in verse 12. While I was with them, the disciples in the world, I kept them, like the good shepherd, in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And so Judas was lost. And yet the Lord Jesus kept on. He continued to want to win him over, to bring him back. And so, brothers and sisters, as we now, not quite 5,000, but a good number in this tent of congregation, sitting together on the green grass, as we come to share in the table that's been prepared for us, this memorial feast that we see a shadow of in the feeding of the 5,000, we should be exhorted and reminded, all flesh is grass. It's going to wither. It's going to die. The only thing that will last in any of our lives is this word. Make it the centre, the priority of your life. Ensure that this week it's open, that you're talking to others about it. We're discussing it. We're supporting and helping one another out of the pages of Scripture. We should be exhorted to be like the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd was not prepared to give up on those who were lost. The Lord Jesus knew right back in John chapter 6 who Judas was. No doubt he knew before that. He wasn't prepared to give up. And so in your ecclesias, in the Okanagan Ecclesia, in the Vernon Ecclesia, in all of the ecclesias represented here, there'll be people who are on the fringes, people who are struggling, people who aren't at Bible school for whatever reason. We've got to make Bible school meaningful in our lives. We don't give up on those who are lost. We go after them as the shepherd would. The point in those baskets being filled up was that the disciples should be taught none should be lost. We should appreciate that God's grace is abundant for us. In Romans chapter 5, we won't turn there. We read, don't we, that God's grace is much more than we need. That's really important. Because some who are lost may feel that the type of character that they are, they're in such a mess in their lives that it does feel like there's no way back. They're struggling to find that path to get to the green grass. Well, they've got to be encouraged to make Yahweh their shepherd. If they do that, he'll lead them down the paths of righteousness to bring them to the green grass. We've got to encourage them to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ as their shepherd, that they don't need to be so overburdened by the challenges and difficulties and worries of their life. God's grace is much more. The baskets were filled than we need. And if we're prepared to do these things, brothers and sisters, will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, where we're going to finish? Then we will grow. If we're fed in the right way from the bread from heaven, that the green grass that the Lord Jesus will bring us to, then we will grow. We're always obviously so saddened at the falling asleep of John the Baptist, particularly because the way in which he was executed was so cruel and awful. And yet the people had to know all flesh is grass, even the very greatest of men. But his death was symbolic in the way that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us about the flesh being nailed to the cross, to the tree. So the symbolic death of John the Baptist, he was decapitated. Why? In order that you and I might never, ever allow ourselves to think the greatest born of women had to have the head cut off. There's no one in here that's anything like the character of John the Baptist, yet lest ever any of us allow the flesh to build in us. What have we got to grow into? We've got to come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, as an analogy, isn't there, from Mark 6, in the storm, that we might not be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But we've got to speak the truth in love, that we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. And so, brothers and sisters, as we now share this broken body, this bread, we should all take on the exhortation of trying to be like that shepherd, knowing that if we grow into that head, it's enough. It will supply for every joint, for every part, every individual here is part of that one body. Surely, this is going to make us more determined than ever to speak the truth in love.